720 WGN. Good evening, everyone. Happy Thursday night. I am not Patty Vasquez, as you know. I am John Hansen, and filling in for Patty tonight pretty late, alongside someone that you know so well.
Yes. Hey, what's going on, John?
It's Mike Heidemann.
It's me. How's it going?
Doing very well. Obviously, you're the producer for Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Yes, I am. Nightly here, 11 to 2 a.m.
And you are now on the other side of the microphone.
I know. Feels so good. I feel free. What's going on, Esmeralda?
Oh, yeah. We got Esmeralda Leon in traffic. She's a regular, of course. Everyone knows her. How you doing, Esmeralda?
Hey, guys.
I miss you down here.
Aww.
You're going to come down at some point, hang out?
I'm going to stay up here and watch you like God.
From TVs.
Just
right.
Like God does.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 720 WGN, we're filling in until 2 in the morning, because Sarah's producing. She just walked away momentarily right when I was going to call on her. That's okay. She's waving now. She's doing something. Rob Martin's here in news for a little bit longer, and we're going to have a great show. I'm really excited. Mike, how's life?
Life is good.
Has Patty been sick, by the way? Was she here yesterday? Or?
She's been a little under the weather, but you know, Patty, she's a total trooper.
Right.
So I think she took tonight off, and then I think that she's taking maybe one night off next week, because mm-hmm. we're in on the 22nd.
Oh, that's right. We're in next Friday, too.
And, yeah, she's at home right now with her fam.
312-981-7200. Tell us how upset you are that Patty isn't here, or just send us a text if you'd like. Let us know. Hateful text messages. I'll read every single one of them. Not all of them on air. Mm-hmm. I'll just take them in. Mm-hmm. Just enjoy it. Really makes me feel good. No, it's going to be a really great show. The thing that is on my mind, I don't know why this is on my mind so much, but we were talking about it earlier, is Christmas cards or holiday cards. Because my mom, who is an art teacher and was an artist, she's very artistic.
Yeah.
She always puts together a very professional looking card to give out. It used to be accompanied by a letter, like a multi-page letter about all of our accomplishments.
Yes.
And there's been so many that she had to pare that down to just the card.
It's just sheets, like a long scroll that just falls to the floor
right.
every single year.
And they look great. This year's is no exception, although this was the first year in a few that I am the lone single person. Oh. On the Christmas card.
Single as in you don't have a significant other.
Right. Okay. So the last four have had it, but newly out of a relationship. Well, not newly. But
did she write that?
Maybe that's why we didn't get an update, because she didn't want to be like, John doesn't have anyone now.
Okay, okay.
It's not always
the worst thing.
No. It's totally, everything's going great. It's
so,
fine.
So she does these elaborate Christmas cards.
Oh, she put me with a picture with me and my nephew, so I wasn't so lonely on the card, by the way. It's a great
okay,
picture.
That works.
So she did this really nice thing, and then she wrote on the back of it. So I don't even know why she sends it to me. I mean, it's my card, too. Like, we're part of the family. But she says, her message on the back to me was, "Damn, we look good. Love Mom and Dad." So she is well aware of how good she is at these sorts of things.
Damn, we look good.
Damn, we look good.
Love Mom.
Love Mom and Dad. Yep, love Mom. So I wanted to know if, because, like, I get a few Christmas cards from friends. I've never sent one out individually, like me and my roommate or me or friends or anything like that. Do you guys do Christmas cards? Does the Heidemann family do Christmas cards?
The Heidemann family does. We're well known for our Christmas cards far and wide. My dad, he works at a bank, so he has a lot of clients. So it's kind of a tradition to send mm-hmm. out these cards to a huge group of people throughout the Chicagoland area, national.
And you guys do goofy photos.
Yes, we are known for taking a little bit more goofy photos. Like, for example, one year when I was very young, it was us breaking into a safe at his work. Like, we were all trying to...
the bank.
Yes, like in the bank.
Oh, that's cute. You weren't really breaking into the bank, but
not really breaking into
right.
the bank. But we were testing, you know, the way it is. Mm-hmm. And then this year, to be honest, I didn't think we were doing a card this year because I didn't receive one for my own family, so I didn't even know what was happening. So I called my mom and I said, "Hey, are we doing one?"
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, we're doing one with all of us in our onesies.
Oh, you got onesies for? Oh,
yes.
Okay. So that was from last year.
Yes.
So it's a recycled photo, sort of. It wasn't a specific photo for that.
Well, it was taken in preparation right. for next year. So we all got in our onesie costumes. It was my dad in the superhero Superman mm-hmm. Costume with the cape. And all, my mom was Batman, I was Captain America, and my brother was Ralphie from the Christmas Story.
So one of these things is not like the other.
Yes.
Did he pout when he put it on as well?
Oh, boy, did he ever.
A lot of pouting.
And if he's listening right now, Adam, you know this, you did, because the thing was, it was, I made it, I said it so everyone was opening them at a specific time, so it was myself. Then my dad opened his. Oh, it's Superman. My mom opened hers. Oh, thank you so much for Batman. He's thinking, oh, I must be like the Green Lantern.
Something cool.
Something Spider-Man.
Right.
Ralphie, big pink bunny the costume. Bunny. Yes.
Well, it's a very cute photo you showed it to me. That's great. 312-917-200. Do people still do these Christmas cards? Have you stopped doing them? Do you put as much thought into it? I mean, because nowadays it's not. I mean, it's still like the one piece of mail that a lot of people still get.
Yeah.
Have you turned it into an e-Christmas card lately? So we want to hear from you. Send us a text, 312-917-200. Now, Esmeralda Leon, I got to ask, does your family do Christmas cards?
No, we're Grinches.
Really? Have my you mom, ever I, done them?
No. I think my mom actually sends out Christmas. She'll buy a few because people send stuff, and she feels bad. They're like, oh, they sent us cards. We should probably send them something. Mm-hmm. But we very rarely.
Does she send a letter? Does she just handwrite something?
Yeah,
or?
No. She just writes, like, Merry Christmas.
That's
bye.
It? See, like, my family collects a ton of these things, like, every year. Like, we have a basket that my mom puts them all in every year.
Oh.
And one of my favorite things about Christmas Eve is going up and seeing how ugly other people have gotten or, you know, whatever, just getting an update. And the ones that are just, like, a generic card that says Merry Christmas, I'm like, come on! Mm-hmm. Don't even send anything. You gotta have a picture in the card.
Yeah, if you don't even write your own poem or specific note to these people, then, you know, why not take the time? Effort?
I don't know.
You know, that's a lost art, I was going to say.
I actually have a question. Do you keep them?
No, so I think that they get ditched in about January 15th or so. There's a ritualistic burning of the Christmas cards outside the house. No,
even
I think
if they have pictures?
Oh, you got to burn those. No,
they burn the best.
They burn into my brain as I remember them. No, I think we throw them away. I don't think you keep them every year after year. I'm sure people throw mine out as soon as you can, the one for my family. But no, when Kassira comes back, we got to talk to her because her family's never done them, and she only gets four or five. I feel like there's kind of like a network. Like if you do not give Christmas cards, you're not going to get a ton in return because people just like write you off the list. Like, come on, this is a two-way street here with the Christmas cards.
I feel the same way. And you know what? As I said before, it's a lost art. And I've actually been trying to write people more this year than I ever have before because
like handwritten letters.
Handwritten letters.
Why?
Because I like to write.
That's a waste.
It's like sentimental notes to people sometimes, John.
Well, even when I get one, I'm like, oh, that's nice. And then I'm like, what do I do with this thing? I put it on the fireplace. I don't have a fireplace.
Is that what people are thinking when I'm writing these like,
yours are probably things? Very kind, I'm sure. But I'm like, you put this a gum in an email. It's a little easier. I can hit reply. You get the message right back. That's why we invented email, was for this exact thing.
It made things a little bit easier.
Yeah, I appreciate your effort. That's really sweet of you. 312-981-7200. Let us know. Do you get Christmas cards still? Do you give Christmas cards? Is that a dying art in your family? So Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, everyone out there. We're approaching the holiday pretty quickly. Still got a lot of shopping to do. I haven't done any of it. That's fine.
You haven't done a single second of it?
No, I just do it like the day before, 2 days before.
Really?
Well, actually, my brother bought a combined gift for my other brother that I'm a part of, so I Venmoed him some money.
Oh, that's the best part about having close brothers and sisters.
I'll get a little thing also so there's something to open.
Oh, okay.
Like
okay.
Something like an ornament that looks like the gift that we're going to get. But, Kassira, it's a Merry Christmas, I'm sure, with you or whatever holiday you choose to celebrate, but you guys don't do cards.
No, we do not do cards.
How big is your family?
It's not that big. I have two siblings that are younger, my mom, stepdad, and then my grandparents.
So, but
only on my mom's side.
And you've never done a Christmas card or anything?
Never.
No. But you still get them.
Yeah, we get them from people, but we don't do them.
You're takers. You're not givers.
Yeah, definitely just takers. We don't, because, I mean, I don't even, I think the last time that I even had a photo of, like, my entire family together was my college graduation.
Which was how long ago?
Which was just in May.
Okay.
But before that, I couldn't tell you the last time we've all been together for one family photo.
Why don't you, like, orchestrate that this year? That could be, like, a gift you give to them. I mean,
no.
We're all about cheap gifts here. We work in radio, so, like...
True.
No? Is there a certain aversion to the photo taking, or...
I mean, no. It's just... Just no.
I just don't get why not.
I mean, because my mom doesn't like taking photos.
Okay.
And then my sister, like, needs a certain angle and certain lighting because she's, like, really big into hair and makeup.
Mm-hmm.
So no one has time for that. My brother never wants to get dressed up.
Uh-huh.
I don't like getting dressed up. My grandpa is just totally over it and wears, like, the same shirt for as long as he possibly can. My grandma's always yelling he needs to shave. And then, my mom's husband is just like, whatever. So it's too many moving wheels to really try to bring it all together.
Okay, interesting.
That makes sense, but I have an idea for you, in fact.
Okay, let's hear that.
How about this? A bird
Oh, wow.
on a card with a piece of mistletoe in its mouth.
No.
And you say, happy holidays, and then just send them all out.
Mm. With no picture?
No picture.
There's no point to that.
When we get cards, though, I don't see many that even have the pictures in them. No. It's a picture like what Mike just described.
Yeah, just the generic kind of.
Yeah, no. We get a lot of the generic Christmas cards. That's what we get.
Why even make the effort? Why send me a generic card with a dove on it, or whatever you're describing? I know exactly what
you're saying. Why do we want to have your... I mean, this is going to sound really mean, but what am I going to do with a holiday photo of your family in my house?
Well, I'm
going
to send you two now.
All right.
Because we look damn good, according to my mom.
So wait, your photo is with you and
it's a collage.
It's a collage.
So sometimes it's all of us together. That was how we used to do it growing up. But now my mom puts together like this well put together card. It's my mom and my dad. My niece has a really prominent space on the card. Last year I had a great space on the card. Mm-hmm. I was front and center. This year, now that I'm seeing
it's just like,
I'm like hanging off the corner of the card.
That little small square that just has to fill it in to make it come full circle.
My older brother and his wife, very prominent. My younger brother and his wife, not as prominent as they've been before. They're off the right side, but they're still prominent. Mine's a small one with me and my nephew. It's blurry. I took it as a selfie. It took it as a selfie, so it's not even a high-quality photo. My mom turned it black and white. I get it, Marcia. But
Marcia?
Yeah.
Oh, my first name.
Oh, Mia Marsh, for sure. Okay. We had a text from the 815 saying, my mom would ask us kids, they're six in total, to send a photo that we want to use each year. Which I think is okay. Like, maybe kids are all over the place and just send a photo. But the 815 says, I never send one of me. So then mom does the scroll in quotes, like the long list of what we are up to. And see, now I say 815, if your mom's going to the effort to make a scroll, she's just asking you to send a photo, take a quick selfie, text it on over, send it over, how you gonna do it. If your mom's going to that much effort, you gotta step up a little bit.
Yeah, 815, why no photo? That's just been boggling my mind since we got this text in.
Yeah,
I'd love to hear from you. And if anything, go to a character artist. You can get a photo made.
Go to Navy Pier.
Go to Navy Pier.
Get someone to do a caricature of the whole family. Sarah, what about that? Would they sit for that?
No.
Okay.
It was even a struggle just to get everyone to come to my graduation ceremony. So if you think they're all going to go to Navy Pier as a unit,
you should do an Instagram story then, an Instagram story card.
No.
Quickly get each of them on the recording. They can say their lines about how much they hate doing it.
Yeah.
It's cute. It's something.
Very 2017.
Not family friendly whatsoever.
The 815 responded that this person sends photos of different people. Are they strangers or are they people of your family? Are they your kids? Are they?
I sketch them as they walk by.
Now we're thinking next level. If you don't want to take a picture of your family and send it, go to a generic stock photo or just get random people on the street, take their photos and send it out and see what kind of responses you get. Be like, here are my kids. Bill and Wendy, Bill and Wendy, let's say.
Yeah.
And it's just random people. That would be epic. That'd be an awesome thing to do.
And then when you see them, like, at a family gathering, they're going to be highly confused. So rot with you.
See, that's fun. I like that next level thing.
You know, you got to do the Andy Kaufman-esque kind of thing. Just random photos of people, stock photos of people you see in Target. You could, send them just I don't know.
You could send them the photo that comes with the frame. And just send that out there. Yeah, exactly. You're sending. She's great. She looks wonderful.
You know, what is your favorite type of Christmas card? This could be a good roundtable question here. Do you like the beach, walking down on the beach, the whole thing?
No, I don't care where you've been.
How about ugly sweaters?
Ugly sweaters are cute.
Okay.
No, I mean, I shouldn't say that. Because sometimes a vacation's the only time when maybe everyone's together.
See?
You already said you don't care where they've been.
I don't.
Merry Christmas.
I mean, I'm happy for them and their success.
I know. I don't care where you went.
I only did it when I'm on air. I'm usually not.
A curmudgeon.
But I like when they're at a wedding, so it's a big event. That's their one time they're all together. That's
all
cute. I just like any picture. If someone makes the effort to make a nice photo and send it out, I just like to see how people are progressing in their lives.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
And you get one each year, and I remember, I'm like, I remember when they did this one last year. And I just sit on the couch, and I scroll through, and I look at my parents get... Oh, gosh, I don't know, 100 cards? Maybe 50?
Wow.
I mean, they're mailing cards, too.
My dad went, they probably sent 300. There's an Excel file that is my dad has to make, and then they make all these, they print all these. It's a whole operation.
It's a lot of stamps.
It's a lot of stamps.
I remember my family did something also very similar. When my dad was working at the bank, we would be in... like a 1920-esque Ford assembly line of my brother, my mom, and she would be the one putting the cards in, and I would be sticking in the tape to keep the photo in the card, and then my dad would be signing them, my brother would be licking the stamp, and then we'd all just do it and send them all out. We do that all night long, too.
How cute is that?
It was very.
Did you play some Christmas music in the background too?
Yes, it was. It was probably Cocoa. Christmas.
I don't know. 312-91-7200. Our Christmas cards, a thing of the past. Do you get a bunch? Do you give a bunch? Or somewhere in between? Well, Gorillaz, Kasera, nice job. High five on that one. Patty Vasquez out tonight. John Hampson and Mike Heideman filling in. Mike, hey, how you feeling so far?
I'm feeling good. Feeling wide awake.
You weren't before the
Loving
show.
It.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, all good.
It's good to have you here. Great to have Ryan Shannon here, Navy veteran. Ryan, how are you doing this evening?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so we got to talk about your story. It's an incredible story, but before we get to the... We're going to... Start kind of at the end, and then we'll go back to the beginning. Is that cool with you?
Absolutely.
So let's mention Music RX, which is the R and the X. It's like prescription.
Absolutely.
Like when you see that. MusicRXFoundation.org, right?
Yes.
So it's your mission is to kind of aid in the healing of active duty military personnel, veterans, and first responders through music therapy. And Music RX provides instruments, which is awesome, lessons, and experiences to promote the use of music as medicine. So, Ryan, before we get to that and really dive in, your story is fascinating. We talked before on a public affairs show I host on WCIU,
right,
and I was blown away at the tragedy that you faced in your life and the inspiration that you can provide and the journey you've been in. So let's rewind. You're from Morris, Illinois, right?
Yep.
Born there. And then there was a tragic event that kind of reshaped how you're thinking and changed the course of your life moving forward.
Right. So I went to high school, graduated from there. I was a track star, broke records, went to state, things like that. Then I went to Aurora University for track. And while I was there, I would go to Northern Illinois all the time because all my friends were there. My best friend was in a fraternity over there. And unfortunately, during that time period, I'd gone to a party one night, got up real early that morning to go to class back at Aurora, and saw on the news that there was a school shooting there. And I knew from the instant that I saw that news, I was like, this is terrible, but it's going to get worse. And I couldn't really explain why.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my buddies that I ran against in high school and kept in touch with and stuff, he was a hero. He wasn't supposed to be in that classroom. He was there with his girlfriend for Valentine's Day. And she took shotgun spray into the stomach. And the gunman aimed her down. And he jumped in front of the bullet.
Oh, my God.
He didn't survive. And it did. It changed everything on how I looked at things. I didn't know what I wanted to do after college. I didn't really know what I wanted to be. I just knew college was the next step. So I started really sitting back and thinking about things. I quit school. I took a job as a janitor at my old high school. I was just kind of getting by, trying to figure things out, and it all clicked, kind of. I wanted to go do something bigger than myself and set my family up, my future kids, my wife. Wanted to set them up for something that maybe I didn't grow up with, you know, and
mm-hmm.
Go live with a different purpose. So... I joined the military. I joined the Navy in December 2008,
mm-hmm.
13 days after I swore in, I was at boot camp.
Yeah, and you spent a lot of time on the West Coast, right?
Yep.
And your story is so fascinating because the role of fire plays a role in how your story progresses.
Absolutely.
Including you were part fighting a big fire on the East Coast, right?
On the East Coast, yeah.
Right. So talk about that.
So it was... I started on the West Coast in Hawaii. I was born and raised in Illinois, like I said, and they gave me, I was the third pick at school for orders, and Hawaii was up there. I'm like,
I'm
going to Pearl Harbor.
Right, of course.
I called my parents right away, like, I'm moving to Hawaii. So, went there, deployed the Western Pacific, and we were over there during the Libya confrontation. We were over there during the tsunami that hit Japan. We just pulled out of Japan right when the earthquake struck. So there was things that we did on the plane over there.
I don't know what just fell over. Something just fell over in the studio. We'll take a look at that. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, okay.
That's how striking your story is. It is making the studio literally fall apart. I don't know if you heard we're moving across the river, so they're just letting this place fall apart. Eventually, GN's moving. So
the back of one of the shelves just blew off.
That's how good this story is.
It's trying to chase its way to Hawaii, too.
Right.
Okay.
It's warmer there.
So,
okay. Deployed, came back, successful deployment. I was running up the ranks pretty quickly, doing everything and anything I could to make sure that I kept going and furthering my career, because the military was absolutely the right choice.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up real quick. I fell in love with it. It was what I needed to be doing. And so we came back from deployment, and almost immediately, we moved to New Hampshire, the entire submarine.
Mm-hmm.
And
Although you mentioned they wouldn't take half of it.
No, they don't. They we have to drive it through.
Through the whole thing.
Yeah. We have to go through the Panama Canal.
Did you have to go down? Yeah, I imagine there's no other way over there. Yeah.
Absolutely. I didn't get to go. I was sent earlier
to
get everything prepared to take everything out of the submarine and replace it with newer stuff. So,
oh, okay.
And by new stuff, it's like 10-year-old.
Right.
But in shipyard in New Hampshire, there was a fire that was set on our sister submarine, the USS Miami. And I had just gotten off my duty day, which is we're guarding the submarine for the full 24 hours. So you have 4-hour watches and things like that. You're there the entire night, and then you work the next day, and you go home whenever it's time to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't even taken my uniform off when I got home, and I get a phone call from my CPUB, basically the kid I was mentoring. He was brand new. And he'd just gotten his wisdom teeth removed. So he said, hey, the USS Miami's on fire, and he's all groggy and stuff. And or he said, the Miami's on fire. And the Miami Heat were playing in the NBA playoffs.
Oh, wow.
So I thought that's what he was talking
wow,
about.
Wow, yeah.
I didn't think anything.
Not quite, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, the USS Miami's on fire. And I was like, holy cow. And we lived across the street from the shipyard. So I looked out my window, and I saw the smoke. I threw my phone, ran out the front door. My wife is 8 months pregnant with my first son. And I'm running down the street to get to base. And she pulls up, like, tires screeching next to me, and she goes, get in the car. She used different wording, but not appropriate wording for
right.
this. And so I get in the car, and she's, what's going on? What's happening? And I said, all I know is there's a fire. I have to report. That's what we're trained to do.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't think you go.
Right.
And she drops me off at the gate, and she said, don't go on that submarine. And I remember, this is the one thing, and you'll find out later in my story, I don't remember things very well, but this is the one thing I remember. She looked me in my face, she said, don't go on that submarine.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'll be home later. Like, I couldn't make that promise to my wife.
Right.
And that's one of those things that always is going to stick out to me. When I reported to the Miami, It was chaos. It looked like it was like a chimney almost coming out of the top of the submarine, and there were people running around, firemen, ship's company people there, and I reported to the port side looking for the man in charge, somebody who's usually higher ranking, tells you what to do, and everybody just kind of looked around at me, and I said, all right, Petty Officer Shannon, I'm the man in charge, route hoses to the port side, and everybody just jumped in the action.
Wow.
So all of a sudden now I'm a junior enlisted guy,
yeah.
And there's lieutenants and stuff like looking to me at what to do, and I'm just going off of what I think I'm supposed to be doing
right.
in the training.
Fake it till you make it.
Right, and so we fought a fire for 10.5 hours. It eventually took the Boston Logan foam trucks came, and that's what eventually snuffed out the fire.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% sure they actually did that, but. I know on my side we had routed hoses, and we didn't have breathing protection and things like that on the outside, so the smoke and everything, you're doing 10, 15 seconds on a hose before you're out and somebody else comes
right.
in. And it was on the national news. My family knew I was there because my wife had called them, so they're all watching the news, and we don't have phones and things like that, so nobody knows what's going on. And I remember pulling a fireman back. He was an older fireman, and
mm-hmm.
I could tell something was wrong with him, so I kind of just led him, and he didn't like collapse or anything, but I let him out of the smoke and everything, and he dropped his hose, and I went back, picked it up, and just went in
mm-hmm.
and started fighting as much as I can.
So you come out of that experience.
Yes.
relatively unscathed. At least
at that point, yes.
Physically,
I didn't think anything was wrong at that point. But this is when my wife started noticing.
Right. We're gonna take a quick commercial break because it's another fire incident, but one that you might not expect that really changed your life. And we'll get to that. And after this on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, John Hanson and Mike Heidemann in for Patty Vasquez.
Really?
Hey there. We're talking with Ryan Shannon, a Navy veteran and the founder of Music RX, or Music Prescription. The RX is what it looks like. Music is our medicine. It helps aid active duty military personnel, veterans, and first responders through music therapy. Okay, where we left off, you had just fought a fire on the USS Miami while in the Navy, and it left you with some emotional scars that started to kind of pop up. We'll get to those a little bit more, but it was another fire event. Sort of.
Correct.
That really changed everything.
Yeah, so we train for in case there's something like a fire. And 1 year after we left, or that fire happened, we left shipyard and we're heading to the Bahamas, perform a fire drill. I'm sleeping for the 4 hours I get to sleep. And the fire alarm goes off. I get out and I have specific duties to do, so I'm responding. I'm putting my boots on, sitting on the ground, putting my boots on, leaned over, and another sailor came out of the top rack about 6-7 feet up, and I took both his heels straight to the back of my, where your head meets your neck, bashed my head in between my legs, and I was out.
A training drill.
Yep.
So you survive this fire, this massive fire, and it's a drill. And if you don't picture the amount of force that a human being can have on the back of your neck, because I think people say, oh, someone, you got bumped in the back of your head. No, you got impaled.
Right. And he was a muscular dude.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It was.
So that really messed you up.
Yeah. So I came away, eventually I had mild traumatic brain injury. I had a headache for, I think we logged 58 days straight if my eyes were I had a headache. Mm-hmm. Lost a lot of memories. Don't remember my wedding when my kids were born. I know I was there. I've seen pictures, but I can't put myself there.
Which is a tragic thing in and of itself.
That's probably the worst part about it.
And then another injury too, right?
So then a year after
he's coming October, right?
Is that what you said? October, which is my favorite month.
Yeah,
but so I'm back in Pearl Harbor and I'm kind of trying to take charge. I've tackled the TBI and we're starting to ease the pains and the headaches and things like that. So it's Pearl Harbor. We go to the beach for fun. That's what we do there. So I took my division to the beach. Just a normal day, and I fell in the sand skimboarding, and I snapped my foot in half. And it was misdiagnosed for 3 months. Eventually, they found the break, and they casted it. The bone healed, but when they came off, all of my... I'd done severe nerve damage. I have a rare disease called complex regional pain syndrome, and I'm partially paralyzed in my left leg now. So,
wow. We're going to talk about how you overcome a lot of this stuff, but let's kind of get in a minute or so into the valley, because, I mean, you went down a dangerous road.
Yes. I was told by doctors I'd never run again. As I mentioned before, I ran track in high school and college. Running was my escape, and it was like a movie. They come in, and they're like, hey, we have some bad news. This is what it is. And for about, it's got to be 2-3 weeks, I sat in my couch, and I believed these doctors that I'd never run again, and I wouldn't be able to walk the right way again, and things like that. And all these other things, forgetting memories, stuff like that. You never think you're going to be susceptible to a depression or suicidal thoughts or things like that until you're sitting there and all this stuff is just crashing around you. And it got to the point where my wife was like, hey, you need to go take a walk. Go take a walk, put your headphones on, go outside. And what she didn't know at the time was that I was seriously contemplating things. Like, I don't want to be this version of me. What are my kids going to, how am I going
to
raise
them? And you're probably scared to reveal that to her.
And you don't know how to.
Yeah.
And so I went outside, put my headphones on, started walking back and forth in front of my house. And eventually it was like, why do doctors get to tell me I can't run again? Why do doctors get to tell me I can't do this and that? Like, that kind of fueled me, you know? But at the same time, it was the headphones, the music I was listening to, the lyrics and stuff like that were getting me off my butt, off my couch, outside.
Yeah.
And eventually I started jogging, like nothing crazy. And as time progressed, I started running. And I was like, holy cow, like I'm doing something they told me I couldn't do. So I started reaching out to like Wounded Warrior, affiliates and things like that, and there's a Team Navy adaptive athletics team, and they had track, and it was for people like me who had experienced things like this, life-changing things. And so then I started competing, and I started 2016 Warrior Games. I broke two records in track, and I came home with four medals.
That's amazing.
2017, I declined in track, but I focused more on volleyball, so I was doing sitting volleyball, and gold was the goal, and that's what we got.
Yeah.
And then I got invited to participate on behalf of the United States in the Invictus Games, Prince Harry's Invictus Games in Toronto a couple months ago. And I thought I would come home with a medal in volleyball, which I did, the bronze medal. But I also wanted to give track a try and see how that went. And I ended up coming home with a silver in the 400 meters. So I lost to an American, so I'm cool with
You're
that.
You're cool with that, right.
It's cool.
And the medals are incredible, by the way.
Yeah, they're sitting right next to us right here. These are some gorgeous.
They're serious. Don't touch them, Michael. Oh,
sorry, they're just so
The case of this medal is nicer than anything I own,
yes.
Little in the middle. Hey, Ryan, can you stick around through the news? I want to make sure we talk about Music RX and the other side of it. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, then we got news. But I cannot wait to hear about how music changed your life. And I saw Mike's eyes open up wide when you talked about this.
Yes.
Mike is as big into music as anyone I know. So I think you guys are going to bond over some chats about this. And I want to hear about how your foundation, really quickly, give out the website again.
It's musicrxfoundation.org.
All right, so we're going to chat about that in just a little bit here on 720 WGN. John Hansen and Mike Heideman filling in for Patty Vasquez pretty late. And happy Friday now, Mike, officially.
Happy Friday to you, too. Just getting a little bit closer to Christmas each day.
Yeah, I guess so. That's a good way to put it. It's also Friday.
And it's Friday. It's
so,
the
weekend. Christmas is great, but, I mean, it's Friday.
And just in a few hours, you're going to be able to hear the WGN Radio Christmas show coming up at starts at 10 a.m.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice little plug there for the station.
Yeah, why not?
Nice job, Mike. Okay. All right, we're talking with Ryan Shannon, a wounded Navy veteran who found that the power of music, with that power of music, he no longer needed to depend on the prescriptions he was on to help combat his injuries, which we kind of detailed a little bit in the last hour, well, pretty extensively. Unscathed physically when you fought a fire.
Yes.
Emotionally, obviously, dealing with some issues with that. That must have been very traumatic. You get knocked in the back of your head severely by the guy above you in a bunk on a fire drill, and then playing around on the beach in back in Hawaii, was it?
Yeah. Yes.
You get your foot breaks in half, misdiagnosed, end up with a paralyzed leg, and you know, you go through a pretty dark path, and you find that putting on headphones, listening to music, and walking around helps, I don't want to say cure it, but it helps you deal with it a lot better.
Right,
did I get that right?
Yeah.
Have I captured that well?
Absolutely.
Okay. What about the music is it that you find is healing for you?
So for me, it's the lyrics. The stuff I listen to, huge 21 Pilots fan.
Oh, yeah.
Even him, his story is incredible. He's schizophrenic, and you can hear it in his music and his lyrics. They talk to you and everything. But for each person, it's going to be different. You know, some people will gravitate towards rap or country or rock or jazz, whatever.
And you're equal opportunity. You like them
Absolutely.
All, doesn't matter, whatever they need.
If it talks to me, I'm for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where that my whole life I've been like that, though, as far as music's concerned. So when I started thinking of this idea that, hey, why don't I offer this to my brothers and sisters and law enforcement, firefighters, EMTs, the people who are out there experiencing some of the worst things you could think of. And I was like, I don't want to just focus on, hey, we give guitars to musicians
mm-hmm.
or to veterans, or we have a network of musicians who are willing to tutor you. I wanted it to be all-encompassing because for me, I'm not coordinated enough to play an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried. I can dabble in a few things, but I'm not. I don't think I have that ability.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So for me, it was the composition and the lyrics and the tone and everything. And so that's where I was like, you know what? Why don't we have these three pillars where I want to give musical instruments to these people? And I don't care if you want a piccolo or a banjo or a drum kit. We'll
mm-hmm.
figure it out. We'll get you what you need to help you buy. And then I was like, what if they already have an instrument and they're looking to play? So my goal was to sponsor with people and musicians or schools who offer these lessons or or packages and things like that, where people can come in and they get a lesson and we paid for it, and so it's out of the, they just have to show up.
They show up.
And then the final one was kind of giving myself something, was music going experiences. Mm-hmm. So some people want to build guitars, some people want to go listen how, I don't know, how albums are made and things like that. So not just concerts or festivals, those are included, but anything, we call it music going experience.
Like behind the scenes,
right,
a little bit.
Anything like that.
That's,
I want to
really
be able to get
cool.
that to them. And the whole basis is that if you're going to go to a concert for one night, you don't have to think, your PTSD isn't going to show up there. You're going to only be in your favorite bands and in their show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, that's one that you don't have to worry about that stuff, and that could change somebody's life, you know.
It's Music RX Foundation. You go to musicrxfoundation.org. How can people listening help? Because obviously all this stuff is not cheap. You've got to provide these experiences for people. So I imagine you're looking for donors, partners, stuff like that?
Right, things like that. We do raise funds. We just held our first fundraising event, and it was, we had live music there, and people came in, we did a raffle, we had a signed Tito's vodka.
Hey, there you go.
Acoustic guitar.
All right. Somebody,
you could bid on that, and all these experiences and things like that throughout the city of Chicago. But yeah, we're looking for anybody interested. If you have a musical background, if this could help you in any way, if you go to the website, you can see and you can click there, and your email will come directly to me.
I think donations and partners are not necessarily, they're easy to find, but people are going to volunteer for that stuff. But yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. How do you find the people that need this help or that might not be comfortable coming forward for it? Is it you're relying on word of mouth, that people tell each other that this helps or this might be an answer for them? And do you ever reach out to people that you might know that, hey, this might help you out? I mean, how does that work?
So recently, and this is something I've been doing, is I have my business cards, and at gas stations, for like the last 3 days straight, I've seen a policeman who had been filling up with gas. So I take a couple of business cards and I tell them what we're doing and give them to them and see if they can come out. But with the internet and everything, social media, that's huge, getting it out there. And then word of mouth, with the events I've done for Warrior Games and Invictus Games, those are huge gatherings of wounded warriors, wounded athletes. And so I get it out to them and it trickles around. But things like this too, getting it out there. And like I said, if you need help, even if it's not, if you don't want music or anything, I think my cell phone number's on there. So I will take that phone call. I don't care what time of day or night or whatever. If you need to reach out to somebody and you have nobody else to reach out to, I'm right there.
So it's musicrxfoundation.org. This is an incredible story that you've shared. And I know personally a lot of friends who have come back from the military, have come back from the Navy, who relied heavily on music to, you know, not only buy their time, but really change their life and change their perspective. So it's as easy as them just visiting this website to reach out and get involved in this organization then.
Right. And you'll go on the website and it'll say contact us, and you can fill out just a quick email, who you are, a little bit about your story. I'll send it to me. It'll come to me. And then I do have a secretary who I send it out to if we need to do anything like that. But for the majority of the part, the communication is going to be me and you talking.
Wow. So you get all the people you need, you get all the donations. Who's going to be that headlining band at that festival?
Yeah, right. Yeah, you got to pick one.
That's crazy. To even think about it.
Crazy question.
Like I said, I'm a huge 21 Pilots fan.
Yeah.
If we get 21 Pilots at a festival, that would be fantastic.
The last thing I want to ask you, you mentioned that, you know, you're talking to a lot of these people and you'll take that cell phone call. Is it because you've been almost to the bottom of that valley that you know the way out, I guess you could say, or one of the ways out?
Absolutely. I think my story, there's a lot taken from me. There's a lot of stuff that happened to me, and I joined the military. I didn't join the ballet or anything like that, you know. And I knew what I was getting into, but when it happens to you, that's different. And like I said, you don't ever think you're going to wake up and the depression and stuff's going to set in. But I've seen it happen firsthand. I've received the phone call 4 times that a brother has chosen the way I didn't choose. And I think once you've hit that bottom and you fight your way back up, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to hit that bottom again. And if I can provide an ear, a listening ear, or my story can help somebody say, hey, I'm not going to do it, I'm going to keep fighting for it, something's going to come along, that's the whole goal.
The statistics vary, but between 20 and 22 veterans a day still take their own lives, which is a shocking number and something we all need to rally behind. Your organization, Music RX Foundation, is part of a lot of organizations that are trying to help. Ryan, I think that you sharing your story, being so open about it, is it not only is a fascinating, inspiring, tragic story in many ways, but it's one that a lot of listeners, you never know who's listening, and it might have helped out even at this early morning hour as we go to 38 states and Canada. So, Ryan, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much.
Okay, there's no great segue here. I love segues, Ryan. We're going to talk about Star Wars next. Are you a Star Wars fan?
I am. I've got my kids getting it.
Have you seen the new one yet or no? All right, well, we have Blake Stubbs coming on next. He's going to give us a review. Ryan, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks again.
Plenty more coming up on 720 WGN.
Speaking of playing ball.
Play ball. That's not what the umpire says. Play ball.
Is the ball to play?
He's got a little game. And let's go ahead and commence the game. Let's play that ball.
Well, how about this? Star Wars has just hit the scene. It's taken
No, it's
over.
Not just hit the scene. It's 1977. Star Wars has been around
this
for a
new,
little.
This new indie movie has come out. It's called Star Wars. Maybe you might know the team of Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia.
Never heard of them. Blake Stubbs, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing very well, guys. How about yourself?
This is like Blake's holiday, one of them, right? I mean, Blake, you're a self-described Star Wars nerd, right?
Oh, very much. Though, you know, I think probably by one's third conversation with me, Star Wars is getting dropped like immediately. So yeah, I'm very much a lifer.
I mean, there's bigger nerds than you in general, but also about Star Wars. But yes, okay. So you just saw the new one. Now here's the thing: you're talking to two people here that are not Star Wars fanatics. I've seen the originals 4, 5, 6. Mm-hmm. I know I've seen 1, 2, 3 at least once, and I haven't seen any of the new ones. So having said that, Blake, I'm not asking you to necessarily convince me, but just know that the context is that I don't know much about it.
Okay.
But our listeners probably do.
I was going to say, this is, you know, probably at the end of the year, you know, when you think about the blockbuster movie season that goes on during the summer and everything, you know, Disney sets aside this time to drop a Star Wars film every year, you know, now that they own the property and they've been producing these films.
Okay.
So this is kind of a known thing as far as, you know, you can mark a calendar sometime in December and you're probably getting a Star Wars treat.
So this is episode Ocho, right?
Yes, this is episode 8, known as, subtitled, The Last Jedi.
And then there will be a 9, right?
There will be a 9.
Is that it then, or is there going to be more?
Well, that was just recently announced, that the person, Rian Johnson, is the writer-director of this episode, episode 8. He also was at the helm for Rogue One. And the big thing that we're going to see come out of the future is going to be a new trilogy of films with him at the helm, but that's very much under wraps what that's going to be about. There's a lot of Star Wars, you know, mythos. You know, it goes beyond just the films that he can probably cover, but there's still a lot of questions about what's he going to do with this. Mm-hmm. And given that Disney has this very profound trust in him, which I can say, if you're handing this guy the reins to a new set of he didn't direct Rogue One, I'm sorry, but if you're handing him the reins to a whole new trilogy, that's a pretty big, you know, step toward a big, you know, amount of confidence toward a director.
So you feel like we're going to be getting Star Wars every December for a while?
Yes.
Yeah, it makes money. So. I mean, why not?
And maybe not December necessarily. I mean, we don't, you know, always know. They can shift the calendar, but the idea is, I think, to aim for a December release where we're kind of separated from all these other big films. And, you know, we're heading for that Oscar, that final Oscar push. Mm-hmm. But this is the big, like, tentpole film that you can plan on seeing around the holiday season.
Okay, yeah. So before we get to your review of it or what you feel about it, just I want to set this up again for you. So Carrie Fisher died last December, almost a year ago now, right? Yeah, January.
Yes.
So had she filmed most of this film? Because she's in this film, right?
Yeah, she she's very much in this film. It is my understanding that she had wrapped production by the time of her passing, or was very much and by, you know, her production, like her principal photography, yes, that was completed.
Mm-hmm.
After Rogue One, when they went through getting closer and closer to what one would call the uncanny valley with visual effects and bringing back a dead actor on screen, which they did with Peter Cushing, and then they also did a little bit with Carrie Fisher making a younger Princess Leia through CGI, Disney said, we're not going to do that anymore. So what you see is Carrie Fisher in this film. It is her final role, and it's my understanding that aside from maybe some audio mixing and things like that, you know, they preserved her final performance to a T, the way that they wanted.
Was it emotional watching that at all?
I have to tell you, this was a very, very big movie in a lot of ways. There's comedy, there is drama, there are a couple of scenes that she really delivers. I mean, it's her, if this is her final performance, what a way to go out. And there's one scene in particular that I, as a lifelong Star Wars fan, I was hoping we were going to get it. We might get, you know, and I'm not going to go too deep into what happens in that scene.
Yeah, no spoilers.
But the way she performs, no, and I will not spoil this for anyone. I want people to go see this and experience it on their, you know, on their own terms. But the way she played the scene, I felt very emotional. I was borderline, you know, a little misty. I won't lie. I know that people around me were feeling it. There were tears in the audience. And part of it was her performance, and part of it was, you know, the people she was in the scene with. It was just, Star Wars is one of those things where you can mix humor, you can have big action, you can have great special effects, but there are great moments of really, truly, you know, powerful acting. And this film does not shortchange the audience on giving them all of the things I just mentioned.
So, if you're a Star Wars fan, you're giving this one the big thumbs up.
As of right now, on first screening, yes. Now, again, as a big Star Wars fan, like, I'm going to have my quibbles when I, you know, get further and further in and probably rewatch it, which I probably will this weekend. I will go back out and see this because, again, lot to digest. Very big film. Probably one of it's certainly, it's much bigger than Force Awakens, the previous episode 7.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more going on. There's a lot bigger visuals. There's a lot more humor. I felt like at times there was a little too much thickness in the story, you know, like maybe trying to bite off a little more than they could chew on the, mm-hmm. on the storytelling front. But as far as, you know, giving me great action, giving me great performances, giving me a Star Wars that I know the filmmakers involved in this are proud of, they did what they set out to do. I think it's just so much to digest. One of the most hyped movies of the year. So you go in, and it's exhausting in a way.
How many people were dressed up as Star Wars characters at your screening?
In the screening I was in, I honestly didn't see anybody. I saw a lot of T-shirts. I saw a lot of hats.
No Chewbaccas?
That stuff. There was one Chewbacca when I walked out of the theater, and the theater that I was in was one of the big, like, Dolby theaters.
Yeah.
That they got, and there was a guy who definitely had, like, a custom hoodie that was totally Chewbacca'd all out, and he was very excited and ready to go. And I would not have been surprised if he had just walked out of, like, a 6 o'clock screening, and he jumped in line for, like, the next one.
Like, it's a roller coaster.
Like, I think and here's, I gotta be quite honest with you, if I was coming on with you guys at about 1 a.m., I might have done the double feature. And then I would have had a lot more to say.
Right, rinse and repeat.
This first, like, viewing, I'm still digesting a few things. I have some very, you know, profound thoughts, but again, only want to talk about it with people who've seen it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to, this is one of those things where I walked into work today and I said, if anybody has read a spoiler or spoils anything for me, we're going to have words.
So tell us how it ends.
Okay with this.
So give us the plot of the end of it.
Well, it ends.
No, blue
font on a, music John Williams is playing, and that's how it ends.
312-91-7200. I do want people to text in. Blake, we don't have too much more time, unfortunately. We wanted to chat with Ryan Shannon, of course, earlier in the show. I just wanted to give you your general consensus, but I want to hear from people. 312-91-7200. Text or call. Are you super jazzed? Were people dressed up? Are you a Star Wars junkie? Did you like it? Thumbs up, thumbs down. And on the other side, I want to hear from people who just cannot get into this hype. Just like Mike, who's I don't mean to throw Mike under the bus here, but like he was doodling the entire time you were talking.
No, I was taking notes.
So what kind of notes are you taking?
I wrote down R2-D2, C-3PO.
Really? This is just what you wrote down?
No, of course not. I'm very interested in it, though, because it sounds like a great movie. Yeah, and I think that there were so many great spoilers. Not spoilers, but great hyped moments from the last one. I don't know if we can give away anything.
No, let's not give away anything. I haven't seen the last one yet.
No.
Hey, 773 wants to know, Blake, did you like John Williams' score?
Very much so. And I was absolutely trying to pay attention to this. Because here's the thing. John Williams is, I believe, in his 80s or early 90s. Okay, this man has really written music that is going to live on forever. Okay, and everything he writes in Star Wars, every time he's done one, has been different. Yeah. In some way, shape, or form. This one, I think, really... And remember how I mentioned there were a couple of scenes that I really was feeling it? My emotions were really high, and I was, you know, borderline misty and all that, tearing up and all that stuff. That is just as much John Williams as it is the actor.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So, yes, I'm 100%. Now, here's the thing. I have to, hopefully, tomorrow, get a hold of the score and listen to it separate from the film.
You're going
to
bootleg that?
I want to catch a lot of the beats and know.
With it.
You're going a nice long jog? Well, you must have never met Blake. Blake, I'm sorry. We got to let you go. We got to go to news. Thank you so much for the quick review, bud, okay?
You betcha.
I'm sure you'll be talking more on...
Enjoy the movie.
Yeah, we will, and I'm sure you'll be chatting with Dane and other people soon more about it, okay?
Very much.
All right. Thanks, Blake. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. 720 WGN. Always a legend. Prince. Preach it. All right, 312-91-7200. Hello, everyone. John Hanson and Mike Heidemann filling in for Patty Vasquez.
Hey.
We got a backup. Esmeralda.
Yes.
Did you say coffee creamers all over the Dan Ryan?
Yes. What? Coffee mates. Creamer. Happening.
We don't have any, like, real creamer or
like powder big bottles. Like the kind, like the packages you get at Sam's Club or Costco.
So it's not like dairy creamer, so it's not the milk, but it's
it's Coffee Mate. Coffee Mate brand.
It's Coffee Mate.
Creamer.
All over the Dan Ryan.
Yes.
Do we have any here? Should we go get some refills?
I mean, you could probably pick some up if you want to drive by and just scoop it up.
Yeah, don't even stop your car.
Yeah.
Just get someone
roll
out the window and get some creamer, baby. But I could be taken out of context. Esmeralda, how you doing, by the way?
I'm good. Doing well.
I miss you down here. That's not anything against Mike, but...
I miss you too, Esmeralda. Yeah. We hosted together.
Yeah, we have.
So you want to play along on what we're going to be doing here for a little bit?
Sure.
So we're going to talk about... First of all, we want to call our 312-981-7200 to play along in holiday trivia. So Mike wants to quiz all us, and we want to get a caller involved. Do we have anything to give away, Mike?
I think we do. Since Patty's off, and as her producer, I know...
We can give away all of her crap?
We can give away everything that she hasn't given away. In fact, I did see some old sugar packets in the green room, too, we could give
away. I got some creamer in a...
on the inbound.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we do have some pizzas we can give away.
Okay.
So let's give away a pizza to some of our
listeners.
That sounds good to me. If you know enough about Christmas to take on John and Esmeralda.
Or other holidays. Or sprinkle in some other holidays. Too.
Any holiday, in fact. I'll throw some Easter ones in there, too.
No, that makes no sense. 312-91-7200. We're looking for someone to win a pizza. While we're looking for someone to win a pizza with holiday trivia, they Google us out with their top searches for 2017, Esmeralda, Casera, and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do nationally. I want to see if we can guess, and the listeners as well, 312-91-7200, the top 10 things that people searched in 2017. I got my little bell here. I know some of the answers already. Did you look over this list, Michael, or no? You know a couple of them?
I glossed over it.
You glossed over it, so you can't give any away. Esmeralda, can you start guessing? Can you think of anything that... These are the most Googleable things.
What was happening in the world over the last year that really sparked people's interest?
Yeah. Can anyone? Because Sarah.
The most Googled.
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman is not on the list. Not
whatever.
In the top 10. Because Sarah, what do you got?
Net neutrality.
Net neutrality.
Very hot now.
Very hot
now. Is it
now
on the list?
No, because they blocked that from the internet now. You're not allowed to search it.
You have to pay for it.
You have to pay to search for net neutrality.
What is Bitcoin?
What is Bitcoin? That's actually... Can you even hear the bell? That's actually in a top search in Chicago. It's number three top search in Chicago, but not nationally. But that's okay. That counts for something.
Yeah, it does count for something.
So most searched things on Google. Because, Sarah, what was the last thing you Googled? Did you reveal? Can you tell us?
Keep it safe for air, though.
Wow, guys.
Well, you never know.
Last thing that I Googled was YouTube to MP3 converter.
That's a great Google.
It was a good Google.
It's a nice little site. That's a staple.
Saved me like a good $15 earlier.
You should bookmark
that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That didn't make the list. Did you think of anything else? Esmeralda, you got one for us? Yeah. Got a guess? You already made the list on one.
Man, I can't remember what has happened in the past.
Is Donald Trump
months.
On the list?
Donald Trump is not on the list. Why don't I start giving some of the list? The number 10 top searched nationally thing for, I didn't say that right, for 2017. It's a toy. It's a
Hatchimals.
Toy. No, not Hatchimals.
It's a toy.
Sarah knows this one.
Think about what was really popular earlier in the year. All the kids were doing it.
Oh, the fidget spinner.
Fidget spinner. Number 10. All right. Okay, number 9. Ooh, this is an interesting one. Former football player turned murderer. Anyone?
That Hernandez guy?
Aaron Hernandez. Number 9 most searched item on Google in 2017.
Carrie Fisher.
Is not.
What?
I think she died right before the new year last year.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And people were just over it, apparently. There's two big events on here that are similar on this list. They both are on the list. What was the season of the fall really known for that we had?
Hurricanes.
Yes. So can you name the two hurricanes?
Maria.
Maria is not on the list, so it's the other two big ones.
One was a rabbit.
Can you remember this?
In a Jimmy Stewart movie.
The rabbit.
In a Jimmy Stewart movie.
I don't even know that.
What?
Clue.
Right.
Oh.
You guys can't remember the big hurricanes that destroyed a lot of stuff?
All I remember is Puerto Rico.
That's Maria. No one. That's no one searched for that one.
And in Texas.
Yeah. Yes. What was that hurricane?
Jose.
No.
What?
Jose. Did you just say that because it was Texas? There was a Jose.
There was a hurricane.
That lingered around, but it didn't. Yeah, it wasn't as bad as. Ends with an H.
Oh. Ha.
Oh, you're close.
Javier.
Oh,
wow. No,
I don't know why I keep thinking all Spanish.
Harvey.
Yeah, there we go. Hurricane Harvey. I shouldn't ding the Hurricane Harvey. But the number one is actually the other hurricane. If it took you that long to get Harvey, I don't know if you'll get the next one. Next letter in the alphabet, it's an I.
Irma.
Yeah, there we go. All right. That's the number one.
That was number one.
People were just searching hurricane. I mean, it was a huge story, obviously.
Yeah.
Big impact, obviously. Okay, other ones on here. Big event in August. 312-981-7200.
Oh, the eclipse?
Yeah, the solar eclipse is on the list.
Tom Skilling was brought to tears.
Oh, that was wonderful.
That was a great video.
Sweet Tom.
Speaking of being brought to tears, number 6 was one of the most hyped events. And no, we're not talking Star Wars. It was a pay-per-view event.
Oh, the McGregor fight.
Yeah. Who was the other guy?
Money Mayweather.
Afloat.
Number 5, I'm not even going to get a ding-dong because it's sad. It was the Las Vegas shooting. Obviously, a lot of people were chiming in for that one. And then the next one is a Super Bowl. I think that's probably a common one. Number 4 was Super Bowl, most common one.
Yeah.
The next two are, one was very recent, a big name brought down, I guess you could say.
Big name
Weinstein.
No, close, though. You're in the right ballpark. Okay. More recently.
Kevin Spacey.
No, that's you another big one.
He was a big fan of Today.
Oh,
Matt Lauer.
Yeah, there it is, number 2.
But not a fan of Tomorrow.
And number 3 was another was a popular musician who passed away. There's been so many. It's okay.
Oh, you're talking about number 3?
Yeah.
What's
the clue?
A fantastic guy. He was in Chicago at one time playing Wrigley Field.
He was in Chicago. Not the band Chicago.
No, not
okay,
in Chicago.
Okay, that's crazy.
He won't back down, but...
Oh, man.
Yeah, come on.
I can't remember.
Not Tom Brady, but...
I'm out.
Oh.
Tom Petty.
Yeah, there we go. Esmeralda, before you said that, did you choke on some of the Dan Ryan coffee creamer up there? I see you struggling up
there.
Yeah,
they got shooken up, so. Yeah.
All right. Well, we got through that list somehow. Only a few clues along the way. We're still looking for that caller, 312-981-7200. We want to give away a Lou Malnati's pizza. You need to play holiday trivia with us. So please give us a call. We'll take you on. We'll challenge you to this game. All right, 720 WGN, John Hanson and Mike Heidemann in for Patty Vasquez. We're playing a little holiday trivia. We got some people that are calling in to be contestants on this this game here. Mike, you want to talk about how we're going to do these rules, and where'd you find these questions? Are these ones that you kind of came up with, or what?
Well, John, you might not know this about me, but I love Christmas every time of year, and I have a good background of being a trivia host at many Chicago haunts over the past few years. And it's the best time of year, and I feel like we all have a certain affection towards this holiday. So, yes, I have a bunch of questions. They range from easy, medium, and hard.
Okay, all right.
And I have a good tiebreaker if need be. And what we're going to do for the game is we have two callers. We have Scott and David.
I think we're just going to have David right now. We're going to David right now. David, can you hear me?
I can.
All right, David, welcome to the show. Where are you calling in from?
I'm calling from Munster, Indiana.
Munster, Indiana. All righty.
The Three Floyds Factory, I think, is over there.
And do we want to use the second caller as well? Do you want to get them involved? All right. Caller number one, we got Scott. Scott, good evening.
Well, good evening to you.
Or I guess good morning, technically. Good Friday morning. Yeah. Scott, where are you calling from?
Well, I'm driving a truck right now, so I'm in Michigan.
That doesn't sound safe. Are you on the hands-free? Just lie and say yes if you are.
Yeah. I have to be.
All right, sounds good. All right, so we got Scott and we got David. We've got Mike, of course, our host, and myself and Esmeralda. You want to play Esmeralda, too?
Sure.
Is that cool with you? All right.
Wonderful.
So we're going to ask a specific person a question, and if they don't get the answer, it then is open up to everyone else, okay? First one to three questions correct wins. All right, Scott, you cool with that?
Cool with that.
Scott in the truck. David from Munster, you cool?
10-4.
That's what the truck guy should have said.
Breaker.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Mike, who's the first question for Scott? You want to start with Scott?
All right, Scott, my friend, you are getting our first question here on Mike and John's Christmas Trivia.
Okay.
Number one. This is going to be an easy one. I'm starting it off a little bit low-key so we can all be on the same page. The question is, who played George Bailey in the Christmas classic, It's a Wonderful Life? Scott?
That would be Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, and there we go. Correct.
Here's the sad thing. I would have gotten that wrong. I had no idea. I've not seen it. I think Esmeralda and I have talked about that. Haven't seen It's a Wonderful Life. So.
Yeah, I have not.
No. Oh. Sorry. Well, good. Nice job. Good for Scott.
Way to go, guys. Okay,
all right,
so
Scott in the truck. Got one.
David, this one is for you. Are you ready to go?
Yes, I am.
Fantastic. It's still in the easy category. Here we go. Question is, what Christmas-themed ballet premiered in St. Petersburg, Russia in 1892?
I'm going to have to go with the Nutcracker.
That is correct. David with one.
That was easy. Come on, all right, it's 1-1. This one's for me then, right?
All right, I'm going to give you the not-so-easy.
Oh, gosh, okay.
For it.
All right.
John, in the category of Christmas movies.
Okay.
In The Muppet Christmas Carol, who played Scrooge? Now, here's a hint. It wasn't a Muppet.
Oh, yeah. It was a human, right?
Yes.
there's other options. Yeah. Oh, it's kind of animal.
Not a human. Not
an animal. Oh, was it George C. Scott?
George C. Scott is incorrect.
Oh, he played it in another one, right? He was a different Scrooge.
So let's bring it out to the...
And does anyone else know it?
Just say your name.
I don't know it.
No one? All right. Well, who was it?
That was Michael Caine.
Michael Caine. Yes, that's right. All right. Okay, so I got 0 points. Scott and David with one. This next one's for Esmeralda.
All right. Esmeralda, are you ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What Bing Crosby song is the best-selling music single of all time?
Little Drummer Boy.
Oh, no, not even close. I'm going to open it up to the crowd. Here we go.
Yeah, White Christmas.
Oh, you both did it at the same time. Guess what? We're going to give it to Scott, who got it first, I think. Scott, just barely.
Let's give it to both of them because it's kind of a wash.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a wash of a Christmas.
All right. All right, we'll give them each a point then. Then they're going to get 3-2 quickly. They each got 2 points.
All right, let's make it 4 real quick.
All right, we're going to make it to 4. You're playing to 4. You each have 2. Change the rules midstream. All right, this next one's for Scott.
All right, Scott, are you ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
Okay, I'm going to give you one from the hard category because you guys are just too darn good. So here we go. Name the animatronic cassette-playing bear toy that every kid wanted for Christmas in the mid-'80s.
Oh.
Teddy Ruxpin.
Bam!
Whoa! I was a kid in the 80s. I didn't even know that one. Yeah.
Jeez.
Scott, did you have one? Did you get one? Or is that just somewhere in your brain you know that?
That's just somewhere in my brain.
I want to know where that is.
All right, so we got this next one for David. All right, David, I'm going to throw this one at you.
Mm-hmm.
According to the folklore of Austria and other countries, what honored figure punishes naughty children at Christmas time?
What kind? Could you repeat that again?
Yeah, of course. According to the folklore of Austria, which I'm sure you're well apt in, and other countries, what horned figure punishes naughty children at Christmas time?
A horned figure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep it clean there, David.
Yeah,
okay?
Come on, hey.
Krampus is coming into my head.
Krampus is correct. Yeah. Did I make these too easy for you?
No, that's amazing.
No, they came from the outer recesses of my Christmas brain.
You guys have some strange brains going on, but you each have 3 points. And that comes over to me now. Mike's going to try and find another stumper here. I've got 0 points. What do you got for me, Mike?
All right, here we go. All right. In the TV special, How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Sold Christmas.
He didn't steal.
Well, that's how Grinches do it these days, folks.
That's the new version.
Yeah, exactly. Net neutrality. Go on.
In the TV special, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, what 3 words best describe the Grinch?
Are as follows, and I quote, stink, stank, stunk.
You are dead.
Yeah!
Way to go.
All right.
John on the board with one.
I knew that one. You all knew that one too, right?
I did know that one, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I wouldn't have known that one.
Really? How do you not know?
Esmeralda, would you have known that?
No.
That's like the best part of the song. Scott or David, do you guys know the guy who sings that? What's his name again?
I do.
Who is it?
Boris Karloff?
Yes, it is Boris Karloff.
Wow.
The 3 words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote. It's like the best song.
It wasn't Boris that sang that. The guy that sang that was a world-class bass singer, like an opera-based voice.
Oh, okay.
But so, that's true. It wasn't Karloff. It was a world-class singer.
Sarah's looking it up right now. Don't worry. she's typing away over there.
But I'm right. I just don't know the name of it.
That's okay. Your brains need to be studied for science after you guys pass. Not that I want to bring that up. That's awkward. All right, next question here for Esmeralda. 3-3-1-0 for Esmeralda.
By the way, David, you're the one who's driving the truck, correct?
No, I'm
Scott. Oh, that's Scott. Indiana. Scott, and you're good. You didn't see any of that coffee creamer on the road.
Okay.
No. I'm in Michigan.
Okay. Well, come on over here. We got coffee creamer on the Dan Ryan, so.
I hate coffee creamer.
Well, then you can run it over. Jeez. You figure out what to do with it.
It is Christmas. Yeah. Do not hate on coffee creamer. Okay, anyway.
All right, Esmeralda.
Esmeralda, here we go. In the 1964 classic, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, what was the name of Rudolph's faithful elf companion?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't know.
Scott or David?
Neil, Herbie.
Who was that?
Herbie. David.
David. Herbie. Was it Herbie?
And it is... What do you say? What's his name one more time?
Herbie.
Hermie is correct.
Oh, and that makes 4 points for David. David, congratulations. You've won pizza.
I'm the king of Christmas.
Yeah.
Lou Malnati's Pizza. Be sure to check it out. They have locations all over Chicago. We're going to be able to get that sent out to you.
Oh, what is happening? Is there a celebration going on?
It's a Christmas miracle.
My son is up studying for a physics exam tomorrow. And his friends in there drinking coffee. They're going to be up all night. God bless.
Well, we got creamer on the Ryan for them if they need it. Congratulations, David. Hang on the line. Scott, thank you so much for playing. We appreciate it.
Oh, sure. No problem.
All right. Yeah, David, Scott doesn't sound as excited. All right, we'll get you the information, David. Oh, God, that celebration continues. Too much coffee. Lay off a quick commercial break. More on the way on 720 WGN.
It's time for the Sound Sessions Music Minute.
Right, you're currently listening to Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions. Sound Sessions.
Sound away.
Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
You're listening to the sweet sounds of Sound Sessions. Thank you.
Hey, it's Michael, producer of Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez here on WGN. I host a music podcast called Sound Sessions. So I'm here to give you a quick taste of what it sounds like. So I won't keep you from this interview any longer. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, Luke Spiller of The Struts. What can you tell musicians who are sitting in their parents' basement or in the garage right now? What can you tell them to keep going to get to the point where you are at today?
Just concentrate on your songwriting and... You know, that's the thing that's gonna sort of like take anyone to the next level with, is the song. And then once you have the song, then you can pepper it and decorate it with, you know, putting some effort into what you wear and presenting it. And, you know, using it to have a great time. I seriously would encourage anyone to be in a band, especially like in their teens, because it changes your life and you form friendships that, you know, it's kind of hard to describe how close you become with band members.
Thanks so much for listening to the Sound Sessions Music Minute. What did you think, AV Club editor John Tatey?
Tell Michael that before the show, we were both talking about how wonderful he is.
Now back to the insanely terrific show that's probably going on right now with Mike Heideman and John Hansen. Take it away, guys.
Wow. There's a lot going on there. Did you? So you?
I don't know where that came from.
What came from? The music?
Yeah.
You just made that, Mike. Yeah. And you made our own intro back to us.
I guess so. Whatever that was.
There's something sad about voicing your own intro.
No, I think that was very, very enjoyable.
A lot of stand-up comics talk about that. That's one of the saddest things they have to do when they're trying to make it. Is there's a mic backstage and they have to go, "And now, ladies and gentlemen," and then they introduce themselves.
You know, to be honest,
and they walk out on stage.
I feel no shame. I
wouldn't. We're scrapping it through this business. We're on a 1 a.m. on a Friday morning. We don't got a voiceover person to help us out. Because Sarah's not going to do an intro for us. She's over there. We're the lowest of the low that she works with. Because Sarah's at a level now even above us.
Yes.
We are the lowest. So, I turned off your microphone. What'd you say,
wow,
Sarah?
That's how you feel? Just cut my mic.
No, we're the lowest. So.
No, you're not. You're on TV. How would you be at the lowest?
That's true. You can see John every single day on the jam.
Yeah, except today.
Except for today.
I had a vacation day already scheduled for today, Friday.
Oh.
And then Steph asked if I could do the shift, and it was very serendipitous.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like I did the shift, and I'm like, I'm calling it like tomorrow. Because actually, my boss listens to WGN every morning at 1 a.m. on his drive into work, so he's listening right now. Shout out to David Plummer, executive producer of the jam.
I know David Plummer.
Are you kidding me? Really?
I interned at ABC 7.
How
was
he?
There.
How was he?
He was awesome.
Yeah,
and he was really cool.
What's the worst thing David Plummer did to you personally? Or is he just that great?
He was just that great. Like, we never, never had a problem with him. He was a really cool guy.
Yeah, he still is.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing well.
Wow, can I meet David Plummer? He sounds like a really nice guy.
He is really nice.
Gotta meet the Plummer.
He is.
He's a great guy.
He gave me some words of encouragement before my term ended with the internship. So, yeah, he's a really nice guy.
Did he say get out of this business?
He did not say get out of this business.
I hate people that do that. There are people in this business that tell you to get out of the business.
Yeah.
They're just covering their own butt at that time, I think.
Pretty much.
Right.
Yeah.
Or they're very wise, and in 20 years we'll be telling kids to get out of this business. Anyways, we just adjourned ourselves because that's the level we're at. That's where we are. And we're going to talk about white elephants because Sarah still doesn't quite know what a white elephant gift is.
No, I don't.
She heard it for the first time today and didn't get a great explanation. So, Mike, you've got a little history for us.
Yeah.
And then we'll have story time.
I can't wait. There's nothing better than a good old-fashioned white elephant gift exchange. And and callers, call in with your stories, 312-981-7200. You can also text in at that line, too. But, yeah, the white elephant is a very, very mysterious and different kind of party game. And Sarah, you really have never heard of this before.
Never. I literally heard it for the first time today from a Jewish man, and we literally just celebrated the second night of Hanukkah last night together.
Well,
so
I think that Jewish people can play white elephant gifts on Hanukkah,
they
too.
They can, but, like, he was just so... just like over it, that it was just funny.
Well, you got to do it 8 nights in a row. That's a lot of white elephant gifts to do.
Mm.
So you're going to find out
Go
that
ahead.
It's not even
bad joke.
It's not even about...
We're so low that I have to say bad joke when I have a bad joke on the show. I just have to reiterate it. Go ahead, Mike.
We should get the bell out of here, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Get David Plummer on this.
Be a lot Plummer will be
David, come on.
Here.
David, just call in.
Well...
David, just call it and set it straight through to 917-200.
David, what's your favorite white elephant gift exchange?
They always say don't do a show for the masses. Do it for one person.
Exactly.
So this, on
that
David's drive into work.
Taught me in school.
Yes, we are doing the show for David Plummer, executive producer of the Jam TV show, on his long drive from the far western suburbs, basically Iowa, into the city.
You know, the best white elephant gift I ever got was from David Plummer, in fact.
Yes, really.
It was a box of chocolates.
Wow.
That I still have in my apartment today.
Should be a plunger to see Plummer get it. What is the history of white elephant? Give us a little bit more.
Wow, no bad joke after that one?
No, that was just so bad, you just let it be.
I let a texter tell me. All right.
So, white elephant gift exchange. In fact, we were talking about how it kind of is associated with Christmas, but it doesn't have that historical background.
Mm-hmm.
A white elephant gift exchange, or Yankee swap as it's known,
is
a party game where white elephant gifts are exchanged during Christmas or any kind of festivity. The goal of the white elephant party is usually to entertain rather than gain. So
right.
It's not about getting the best gift.
Right.
But here's the thing that I found very interesting. Where does this term come from? Because it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Why does a white elephant mean you're getting a gift?
Mm-hmm.
Well, John, it was based
David.
On...
David. Well, David, the listener we're talking to.
David, are you there?
He's there.
Okay, good. I think he's texting in right now, too. Love the show, guys.
All right, tell David what it is.
David, this white elephant term is actually based on the legend of the King of Siam, who used to give rare albino elephants to people who had displeased him. This could be kings, queens of other lands.
That's pretty cool, though.
But the thing is, they'd give these rare white albino elephants because they'd be ruined by the animal's upkeep costs. So you would get this enormous elephant. What are you going to do with an elephant? You got to pay for its food for the rest of your lifetime.
It's like when you win a car and the price is right.
Yes.
You got to pay the taxes.
I have a long story about winning a hot tub on Let's Make a Deal.
That's right. You won a hot tub on Let's Make a Deal.
Yeah.
That was the ultimate white elephant gift.
It was.
Where is that hot tub in your 600-square-foot apartment up north? No. Where is that hot tub?
That hot tub was... Okay, so it sat in my parents' driveway for 9 months in the freezing cold. Because not only that...
Wait, opened or unopened?
It was in a crate, an enormous crate. Because what you don't understand is when you get a prize from a game show, they send it to you. And the thing is, if you live in Illinois and you lived in L.A. at the time, they will send it to you in the middle of the freezing cold blizzard in February and let it sit there and collect snow. Yeah.
9 months in your parents' driveway, the prize you won on Let's Make a Deal.
It was hard to sell, John.
That's a massive white elephant. Anyways, the upkeep of the elephants.
Yeah, so these people were being ruined by the animal upkeep costs. And while the first use of this term remains a matter of contention among historians, one theory actually suggests that Ezra Cornell brought the term to the popular lexicon in his frequent social gatherings as early as 1828.
Okay.
So that's kind of cool. And if you don't know how it works, basically, so I have a gift. We're in this group of people. It's Esmeralda, Casera, John, and me, and we're all hanging out at a local party.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have gifts that are wrapped up. And it kind of goes, you can either pick, and we put them all in the middle,
mm-hmm.
and you can either pick up a gift, or you could steal another person's gift.
Right. So, and there's either a mechanism in which you can do it. Do you roll dice when you do it? Or is it just goes around the circle?
So
there's different rules,
of
course.
In our family, we would kind of put our names. We would draw a card. So the highest card, and then we'd all pick from the same deck. So if you got the six of clubs, mm-hmm. you'd be the six of clubs, gets to pick their thing now. And the best part
is... pause everything.
Oh, jeez, sorry.
Guess who called in?
Our listener.
Yes, David called in.
David Plummer, how are you doing this morning?
Second him.
Good morning, guys. This is like the best radio show I've ever heard. Me, and I love that.
It's just for you, David. You are our audience. Are you enjoying this conversation about white elephant?
I love it. I don't even understand really what the white elephant gift is, but I'm listening and I'm learning. So
thank you, David.
David, do you really not know? Have you never done white elephant exchange?
I've never done that. No, I don't even know what that is.
Oh, my gosh. Well, if you didn't hear the popular story...
No, you're not telling the whole thing.
That's the whole story.
This is all for you,
David. So basically, David, you just have a bunch of crappy gifts. Everyone wraps one. Just like it could be like an oven mitt that is just laying around. It could be I don't know, a produce. I don't know. You could be anything. You wrap it up, you put it in the middle, someone picks it, and then you can steal it from that person. It's just this weird, there's different variations of the game.
And it goes around and around, and then you eventually see the younger kids cry as the adults laugh about these hilarious gifts that they've been passing around
right.
the entire time.
And then at the end, you open it up, and you're like, wow, this sucks. And then you kind of like, then a lot of people like will bring that same gift the next year. There's
yes.
themes that develop. It's really terrible.
What
I don't know
what is the happiness behind this?
There is not a lot of happiness.
Again, let me just reiterate the fact that it's usually to entertain rather than to gain.
This doesn't even sound entertaining.
This sounds horrible. Why would I want something crappy from someone else?
See, this is what I'm saying. This is what I was telling you before the show, Mike. I was like, everyone does these white elephants. Mm-hmm. If we're going to go through the effort to wrap a present, throw me a Chili's gift card or something. At least put something in there.
Yeah, all right.
I'm glad David, our audience this morning feels this way, because I'm very copacetic with that. So mm-hmm.
as long as David's happy, I'm happy, to be honest.
Same. That's a mood.
I'm so happy to be up at 1:18 in the morning driving into work on a Friday. I can't even explain, but I'm happy to be listening to you guys.
Oh, that's very kind. David, if you would take the Ryan, which I know would be way out of your way, a giant truck of coffee creamer spilled on the Dan Ryan, so maybe they could talk about that on the jam.
Something tells me that we might be doing that. Is there a large tanker of coffee coming up right after that?
Sugar. It's sugar's coming up right after that. And then just a bunch of Dixie cups. So you can just kind of walk your way up. 59th Street, you grab your cup.
Mm-hmm.
You get to 47th, you get a little sugar. 33rd is where you're going to get the creamer. Then you get, and you're all set. You just walk into the office.
Hear that, Chicagoland? Free coffee all morning.
Mm-hmm. All right, David, I'll let you get back to the drive. Enjoy the rest of the show for you, okay?
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend.
David Plummer, I love that man. Executive producer of The Jam, used to be over at Windy City Live. It's just a great guy at ABC.
He awesome. Gave me some great advice at one time, and two, he said, never do a white elephant segment ever again.
But okay. You know what? I saw some of the rapping paper that was going on today at the company that I was at, and I can tell you right now, no one was giving out crappy gifts.
Really?
Yeah.
What were they giving?
One person brought in like a gift bag from like Juggernaut, but like I know he just ran to the Juggernaut store. So whoever got
that. What is Juggernaut?
Yeah, what's Juggernaut?
Are you serious?
You don't know what a white elephant is. You're going to judge me on Juggernaut.
We're going to go to break, and then I'll tell you guys what Juggernaut is.
All right, quick commercial break. We're going to learn what Juggernaut is. We want to hear your worst or best white elephant gift, or apparently Cassandra's friend is Michael Scott from The Office, who ruined Yankee Swap.
He gave that darn iPod.
I know. More coming up on 720 WGN. I know that one, too.
That was really good.
720 WGN, you're listening to David Plummer Radio here at 1:24 in the morning. Mike Heidemann and myself, John Hansen, filling in for Patty Vasquez on Pretty Late. Is Patty back tomorrow then, or no?
Yes, Patty will be back.
Oh, she's back. Okay.
Yeah, we're excited to have her back. We have a really great show tomorrow, too.
Don't care. We're talking about white elephants. You don't need to tease this now. No one needs to know.
Wow.
David's going to be listening. Yeah. So what is it?
David, you're going to be looking forward to a really excellent show tomorrow morning. We have great music. We have our political roundtable. And as you know, on every Friday, we play another round of What's That From? And David, if you call in, I will try to make a part for you. So just keep that in mind. But for now, we're going to keep talking about white elephants, the best and worst gifts.
We got one from the 773. I once put an X in a show me box. And when I first read this, I thought that person meant they put like an ex-girlfriend or boyfriend in a box,
yeah,
which is bad connotation.
That
sounds like the Sopranos. But I once put an X in a show me box, like the letter X, wrapped it up, and said it was an Xbox. So that's clever.
Oh,
that's a good white elephant.
That's insulting.
Yeah, right, because Sarah, that face you just made, that's the face that you want for a white elephant, and why it's terrible.
That, you know what the thing is about that sound is, even on the radio, you can tell the face that she's making right now.
So, if you have a gift that you've gotten or given that's been bad, good, whatever, tell us your good white elephant story, 312-981-7200. I do have one.
Okay.
Can I share the one, Mike?
Yes, you can.
So, when we did it on New Year's Eve, and it'd be my parents and their college friends. They do New Year's Eve together every year, and they all have kids, so we all gather around, we all party together, and I was, I don't know, 10 or 11 at the time. My younger brother, though, was 4,
mm-hmm.
and the concept of white elephant is not easy to understand for a four-year-old. So,
no,
we wrap up all these gifts, and Paul Dell, our wonderful friend, he wrapped up a box the size of my brother. Bigger than that. It was a big old box, and it was heavy, whatever was in that. We all know that it's something bad in there. But Drew, my younger brother, who just sees a big box, and it's Christmas time-ish, and he's like, of course this is going to be some amazing toy. This is going to be something. So, of course, he went first, and he got that gift. And every single one of us, adults, kids, teenagers, stole that box from him, and every single time he would wail louder and louder, scream and cry, no, no, and we'd all steal from him. He'd steal it back. He'd be so happy. We'd steal it again. No one stole anything from anybody else. Finally, I think my parents were like, just take it, please. Stop sobbing. And it was 3 bricks and a sweet potato. And that was what was in the giant box.
Jeez. Wow. That's really funny. And it's funny.
But that's the fun part. Torturing children.
Yes.
That's good.
And it's interesting you mentioned the fact that you knew it, that everyone knew that it was a box full of nothing. Right. Because obviously you've been duped by that box before.
I'm sure when I was 4, I went through the same sort of thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This is so cruel.
It is. It's
so
cruel. No, we were cruel. That was cruel. The best part was is that you'd expect that from me. I'm his older brother. But to think back that my parents allowed this to happen with their college friends means they probably were stoned or something. I mean, it had to be that. They were really into it.
You know, my best friend has something like this.
Okay.
I don't think they did white elephants, but like their family does like a secret Santa.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like somewhat reversed, but my friend was just like always the greedy kid, and she'd always go for the biggest box, and her family would always know. Her family would always put like her dirty laundry in a big box because like to teach her a lesson about greed.
Okay, so that's,
and she never learned her lesson because even to this day she still always picks the big box.
Mm-hmm. So put some sweet potatoes in there; she'll never pick them again.
I'm not doing that. She actually gives me really good gifts, so I'm not messing that up.
So what is Juggernaut, really quickly?
Okay. Juggernaut is a it's a fashion forward boutique that features like underground, like hip hop culture, designer clothing lines. It's like really big.
Okay.
Amongst people.
Mm-hmm.
You. Amongst youth.
I can't believe you never heard of this shit.
I didn't want to say younger people to make you feel old. So.
No, that's okay. I thought you were alluding to something else, so.
No, it's amongst the young folk, us hipsters, hip people.
So not a 33-year-old gay white man who watches Will and Grace every night before he goes to bed.
Doubt.
I'm not quite in that demo.
Don't put yourself in the box. The Juggernaut is
all-inclusive. Don't be in the box. It is totally all-inclusive.
Could David Plummer rock Juggernaut?
Anybody can rock Juggernaut.
Right, let's get it. Anyway, so
Juggernaut from the X-Men rock Juggernaut.
I don't see why not, yeah.
All right, so they were wrapping up some Juggernauts. That's a good gift. So
that was a really good gift.
That's not a white elephant.
Exactly, but they called it a white elephant.
That makes. So, but did they trade the gifts between the people?
Yeah.
How do you pick clothing for someone that you don't even know who's going to get what?
I don't know. All I know is I just saw the different little baggies, and the one bag was a Juggernaut bag, and it looked like maybe a gift card or something.
Could it be a fake out?
No.
Okay.
I know the person that bought it. It definitely was not a fake out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. The best white elephant that this person missed from the 815.
Yeah.
This is not white elephant. They had a Michael Scott. Michael Scott and Yankee Swap gave an iPod and it ruined the whole thing in an episode of The Office. This person missed Johnny Walker Blue Label. That bottle is $200 or $300 a scotch. Why is that in a white elephant?
And I love the fact that they put, I got jumper cables that year.
Jumper cables?
Amazing.
You know, honestly, if I got jumper, I have jumper cables, but if that's
useful. Really you know useful. What, I'd be happy.
Yeah, jumper cables.
I need a second pair of jumper cables, actually.
You know,
why do you need two?
Because I have 2 cars now.
What are you rolling in? You're a juggernaut of yourself.
I am not.
This is why you're a butt bus.
I am not.
Between Mike and I, we only have 1 car and 1 little moped that Mike drives around.
I bought a second car 2 months ago.
And you haven't sold the other one? Just like the hot tub sitting in Mike's parents' driveway.
No, because 1 car is financed, and then I bought the other one outright in cash.
You're running some sort of operation we need to talk about during the break. 720 WGN. We'll make more after this.
Steady, steady rocking on.
720 WGN. We've been talking about terrible white elephant gifts that you may have gotten over the years or given over the years. The Johnny Walker Blue one, this is what I don't understand. There's people that are giving, like, good gifts in white elephant gift that ruins the whole thing.
Well, it's often good that you give at least one good gift so people can chase after it, because that's the thing that everyone steals and you want it really bad. Like, but
that creates animosity.
Well, that's the whole point of the game, is to keep it a little tense.
To divide people?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, now I'm starting to buy in.
It's Christmas. It's time to tear apart families.
Yes, it's not about the joy. It's not about Jesus. It's about tearing families apart. What it's always been since the beginning.
Santa said it best, words from David Plummer's mouth. Christmas is about tearing people apart.
Yep.
He didn't say that.
No.
But there is something that is said about getting a really good gift and getting it, like, people kind of chasing after that one goal.
Mm-hmm.
In my family back in Wisconsin, we have one side of my family that does the good gift, like the Secret Santa, where you get a cousin's name and you pay the $25 and try to get the best gift. Every year I feel like it fails. Every year I think.
Just because
you're trying to get somebody that you haven't seen all year. And you know that they're saying, hey, I want a new sweater. And you're thinking, I want the J. Crew sweater. They're thinking, I'm going to get you the thrift store sweater. And you're going to like it because we're cousins.
It's a Kmart sweater.
It's the Kmart sweater. Mm. And nothing wrong with Kmart sweaters, but most of the time you're...
That's why they're at Kmart.
Yeah.
Something was a little off.
But Target has some really good
stuff. Target does. I will say, Target, I bought some clothes at Walmart. I'm not ashamed of it, but Kmart.
Yeah.
I love you, Kmart. Go on.
So, on the other side of my family, the Heideman side, we celebrate in Kohler, Wisconsin. And so there, everyone is huge Packer fans.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's something that's going to be Packer related, maybe a hat, maybe a pair of gloves with the green G logo.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be the hot ticket item. And
That's what
people go for every single day. It sounds crazy in Illinois.
Kohler, Wisconsin. These are the white elephant, or these are the good gifts? These are the secret things?
These are the white elephant gifts.
Okay.
Yes. So now we're talking white elephant in the Heideman side. And,
right.
And if there's a Packer memorabilia, that's going to be hard to take. But there's some years where you get a gift and you think it's the Packer material or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden it's a whoopee cushion, and now the kid is getting the whoopee cushion, and and we have more younger kids now than we have older kids, so most of the time it depends on who's going to get the biggest cry out of the kids these years.
That is fun.
And then of course the Justin Bieber toothbrush was a hot ticket item one year. I know that one year we had what do we have? A slip and slide? That was another hot ticket item.
That's a good gift.
So what are some of your gifts that you've seen in white elephant parties that you've kind of enjoyed? Because I have a few here for you if you need some ideas for this upcoming year.
Yeah, well, like I said, I've seen oven mitts. I saw a Green Day CD given at one.
Okay.
Dookie.
Oh,
someone gave some Dookie once. So what do you got? What are some ideas?
Well, what about getting a selfie toaster?
What's a selfie toaster, Mike?
Well, the selfie toaster, it fits any description, because what it means is you're basically taking a photo on your phone,
okay.
and you create it into a stencil, you drop it into this toaster, and as you can see, it creates... toasting of your face.
That's an awesome gift.
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
I'm adding that to my list. It's a selfie toaster.
Yes, and it actually was created, this is kind of sacrilegious, but it came from the popular Jesus toast that came out a few years ago. So there's a little tie into Christmas.
What better way to butter up Jesus than
putting
some butter on him?
What about a foot hammock?
Or some jam, too.
Oh, speaking of the jam.
Right. Yeah, that's
tomorrow
a transition.
Morning.
Right.
What about a foot hammock for you?
What is a foot hammock?
Now, a foot hammock, are your dogs aching? Greater comfort actually leads to greater productivity. And is it napping? No, it's just napping for your feet. This is a hammock that you put underneath your desk in a George Costanza-like way to keep your feet nice and warm.
I like that one. That's good, yeah. Yeah. Two for Casera.
Trying to use that.
Mm-hmm.
How about the dad bag?
The dad bag. What's a dad bag, Mike?
Now, not everyone has the time, genetics, or inclination to cultivate a big, hairy belly. That doesn't mean you should miss out on the chance for this great fanny pack. Like belly that you can stick your beer in and strap around your waist so you can get a dad belly anytime you want.
Is it, does it have like, does it look like a belly?
Well, take a peek here for you.
Yeah. Oh, it sure does.
It looks
boy,
like
that's disgusting.
A belly button and all. You can put your beer in there. You can put your, coins.
If they had the belly button and you could open a bottle of beer like it was a bottle opener in the belly button, that'd be great.
That's what we call a game changer.
Right.
Is what I'm going to say.
See, this is why it should be invented. Is you got any more for us?
Well, we do have one more for you here. I'm going to give you my best one because I don't think if anyone had this at a white elephant party, it would be the number one ticket item maybe of all time. And that's the motorized cooler. Now, Casera, I know you got the chance to ride one of these bad boys.
Oh, the moto bag.
Yeah.
Oh, what is this? What is this?
Oh, no, you rode the moto bag.
Oh, yeah, I did the luggage.
Well, this is a motorized cooler, in fact. And being the proud owner of this motorized cooler means you never need to worry about finding the ride to the party. In fact, you can sit and put all of your beer and or soda and or wine, whatever you want to, eggnog would be a good one, into this cooler, and you can ride it around like a scooter.
Well, good thing that most of the L stops are now ADA accessible, because you just ride that thing under the elevator and get on the blue line or something like that.
That's important, though, because when I rode the luggage, we were asking if it was used as a cooler, and now that I know that the cooler exists,
That's a good gift. That's a great white elephant gift.
I think so, too.
I think it's a cool Christmas gift.
Yeah, that's just a cool anything gift.
Yeah, like going to the beach or something, that'd be ideal.
How fast does it go, Mike? What does it max out at?
Let's take a look what the motorized cooler can max out at here.
How fast are you trying to go, John?
Well, 10 to 12, 15 miles. There's a party. I want to get there. Get there 10, 15. Oh. Get me up to 12, zoom down Michigan Avenue, crack open a beer, don't have a cane. I don't even know. Yeah, now you're talking.
That's
what I should do. I should ride that thing around. We're always looking for new ideas.
There is a video, and I'm seeing here, so I wouldn't take it on the Ike. But it is fast enough where you can take it. Depending on how much beer you put in there, or soda, you can get it. Oh, my gosh, it's going about, looks like 30 miles an hour.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, this thing is going really fast.
Oh, that's incredible. All right.
John, now I want to see this on, come on.
On the jam?
I want to see it on the jam.
Well, David Plummer's listening. He can let me know if we can do it. David, text on in my personal cell phone number, 312-917-7200. Can I ride around in a cooler down the streets of Chicago?
We got a quick text from the 708, by the way.
Yeah, this is a good one.
My family always did white elephant, and the worst gift one year was a pair of absolutely absurdly creepy quilted Christmas dolls, and they kept coming back. And now, I don't know if they came back like haunting
from the
them. The goal quickly became choosing a box that couldn't possibly fit these dolls. The smaller the box, the better. In fairness, I once gave a set of Jane Fonda workout VHS tapes. That's from Shannon from the 708. That's a great gift.
I love the idea of trying to hide it. So you're trying to like fit it in a box that would fit like a ring. You're like stuffing this doll in there and you open it up and just attacks your face. That'd be awesome.
My God, this doll's never going to fit in this box. I'm safe.
Yeah, exactly. And then there you go.
Get home
every year.
That's when you got to hold it up and weigh it. And there's a lot of density in this thing. All right. I had a text from the 773. A gift up from the basement. A full-sized pantyhose machine, complete with the full complement of said hose. Coin operated. So I had to Google this because I don't know very much about pantyhose. So back in
Scarlett Johansson does.
So Scarlett Johansson knows a thing or two about pantyhose. Let me tell you. You see these hairy legs and this hairy dad bod belly? Got to cover it up with something. What am coin I talking operated. About? Oh, coin operated. So I just Googled it, and it's like an old-timey, it looks like a sort of like an old-timey vending machine where you might get a Coke bottle, but pantyhose come out of it. So was this a popular thing, like that women, if their pantyhose tore or something, that if you're in the bathroom at like a truck stop or something, I don't know.
Truck stop.
Well, you know, like just a stop or like or in the convenience store.
John's thinking of the novelty game you play in the bathroom.
Real novelty.
Now, can someone let me know how when it then used pantyhose machines?
Well, what I don't understand is who is the person who's lugging in this coin-operated machine into a party? Is it on wheels? Do you need to bring some kind of dolly?
It's on the cooler. You just find that cooler in there, you crack open a beer, you get a pantyhose machine, and you go wild.
Merry Christmas, yeah. Everybody.
That would kill in Wicker Park. We all know it. 312-917-200. Quick commercial break. More. We'll finish up the White Elephant Gifts. We'll finish up the whole show for you, David, after this on 720 WGN.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
While the merry bells keep ringing.
Happy holidays. Can you play this for a little bit longer? This is my least favorite holiday song. Sorry, Sarah. And it's coming up here. This is the most annoying. Here it is.
It's the holiday season.
This is so obnoxious.
And Santa Claus is coming.
Come on.
Who sings this?
Snow is white on the ground.
This is Andy Williams.
Oh, I do like Andy Williams, but
this song is
crazy. It's funny you have a memory about this song because I do too. I have one cousin who just drinks a couple beers and then will repeat, "Happy Holidays."
Yeah,
throughout the night.
This one drives me crazy. I like the Christmas music too, because then at one point it goes, and Hickory Dock, Dickory Dock. It just drives me crazy. That's that song. It's like another verse.
You know, a song that's a little bit more annoying than that. I was thinking about this the other day, and I was listening to my holiday jams.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Beatles, and I love what they've done with their solo acts, but oh my gosh, that Paul McCartney song, I can't stand it.
How does that one go again? I know it.
Wait, which one?
I have a violent revulsion.
Christmas time?
Having a wonderful Christmas time.
That's one of my favorite songs.
Oh, no, that one's revolting to me as well.
The keyboard part where it's like, dunk, dunk, it sounds so clunky, and I just can't get into it anymore.
Because do you have one that you hate that you can't stand, you don't want to hear anymore?
All the different remakes of Last Christmas. I hate any new version that someone tries to make
Michael's
of it.
Song.
Yes.
Okay.
I like the original. I love the original because that's my mom's favorite song.
Yeah.
But, like, these, like, new teeny bopper versions, I can't stand them.
Pass.
You want to hear something crazy?
Yes.
I heard, or maybe I read it online, that Mariah Carey from... What's that song called again that she's really...
All I Want for Christmas,
All I Want for Christmas
Is You.
One of the most famous songs of all time. She made that in 1994. She's been making $500,000 every year from royalties on that song since then.
You know what's crazy? I thought it would be higher than that.
Really?
I mean, with how much that song is played, promoted, used in commercials, used in whatever, how many times Love Actually comes on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, I'm shocked it's not more. I thought it'd be at least a million a year.
Yeah, every season it gets shut up to number one on iTunes.
Yeah, I'm shocked it's only 500,000, to be perfectly honest.
That's just on royalties. So if you think about licensing and all the other things, I'm sure it's well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why she can... I don't think she's had a hit since the 90s.
Yeah, that song's awesome. That song's incredible.
Whoa, she had some hits in the early 2000s, like Shake It Off and, you know, some...
That's Shake It Off.
The Emancipation of Mimi was a really good album.
Oh, we've hit a nerve here.
I can see that.
I like Mariah.
No, I do too. I'm totally fine with it. Best or favorite, worst or favorite Christmas songs? Esmeralda, are you a fan of Christmas music? Is that your thing?
The only Christmas songs I like is, funny enough, the Mariah Carey...
Yeah.
All I Want for Christmas.
It's so good.
And Run DMC's Christmas in Hollis.
Yeah.
See, I like all the traditional. I actually like the church songs. Silent Night drives me crazy, but Angels We've Heard on High, I love that song.
I like Carol of the Bells.
Carol of the Bells is killer. Yeah. And anything Mannheim Steamroller does to those songs and, like, plays it on garbage cans and, like, kazoos or whatever the instruments they use. Have you ever heard Mannheim Steamroller?
Yes.
They
yes.
just really take those songs and they throw them in a blender, pulse that, and then they somehow come out with whatever song that is. It's good stuff, though.
You know, that's very true. Silent Night, another great song. That is the most redone song of all time. I think there's 170,000 versions of that song.
I don't like
today.
That anymore.
I can believe that.
I'm done with that one. It's too slow. I like...
You're done with Silent Night.
I'm done with Silent Night.
I need party Christmas songs.
Yeah. Give me some Angels We've Heard on High.
Have you heard the song Baby Please Come Home from the 1960s?
Oh, I bet.
That is my favorite song.
Oh, is it? Can you sing us a bar or two?
Or I can pull it up
for you.
Pull it up for it. Yeah.
It's a beautiful song.
708 says...
Mariah Carey did that song.
Yeah, she didn't. She does a great version of that song.
Did you want to hear her version?
I would love to.
Okay.
708 says, Madonna singing Santa Baby. Puke. Oh. Gag me with a spoon. That's a... throwback saying, too. Wow,
yeah. I haven't heard Gag Me With a Spoon in years.
Since Madonna was big. singing Santa Baby.
Since Mariah Carey put out her first hit in 1994.
Yeah, there's just some Christmas songs. I think part of the reason is that other station in town, which I'll listen to the Christmas music, mm-hmm. but when they play it for like 6 weeks.
Oh, here it comes.
Is this yours?
Yes, this opening part too. Here it comes.
But this is Mariah Carey, right? This is All I Want for Christmas. Yeah, this is great.
No, this is not. This is Baby, Please Come Home. Christmas.
Oh, you're right.
Come on. Don't you think about snow during the summer?
This is a good song. No, this is good. Because this is the one in Love Actually. This is a good one.
Yeah, this takes me back.
312-91-7200, just a few more moments left. If you got a favorite or a least favorite Christmas song. No, I like the church ones. There's another one that's more of an Advent song. It's called O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. It's got that eeriness, that anticipation of, as we're building, it's dark out, the snow is falling. O Come, Emmanuel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. I have a Christmas book at home on my piano, and I play a lot of these songs. So.
What about Jingle Ball Rock?
No. Pass. Horrible.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Good.
That's a hit.
Good. She deserved it.
For pure
nostalgia. Florida, I hate that song.
It's all about the Christmas vibe, I think. I think there's a lot to say about these Christmas songs. If you don't really listen to them in June...
No. Well, look, we agree and disagree on all of these songs. I think that that's one of those things that everyone's got their favorite, and there's going to be someone that hates it, mm-hmm. and vice versa, for sure.
I really like NSYNC's Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. I'm going to watch it.
That's a good one.
Happy.
That's a good one.
Songs.
Yeah, usually I say I don't like any of the new ones, but there are some good ones that are good.
Ariana Grande's Tell Me Baby, or...
Santa Tell Me. Yeah. I don't know if I've heard that one.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
She's taking it into the Juggernaut territory right now.
Well, I am not. That is not Juggernaut.
There is a great song by Julian Casablancas that he wrote about Christmas. I think that's the newest one that I like. But Ariana Grande, I love how they're still coming out with these songs,
right.
too.
Yeah, cool.